I have a different message for you this morning that God wants me to share with you, and it's about the body. The body being us, the church, the body of Christians, the body of believers, and that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. While they're queuing up that video, I'm going to read to you guys 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. We'll read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter, and it says this. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, the apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the great gifts. Love is indispensable, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. So I have a video for you guys. I'm going to use this video as an example and as a teaching point for the body. And so I just want you to watch this, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Got it.
Sorry, kids, you don't get to see my party trick after all.
Located the Tesseract.
I could get there faster.
The Tesseract belongs on Asgard. No human is a match for it.
You're not going alone. You gonna stop me?
Put on the suit. Let's find out.
I'm not afraid to hit an old man. Put on the suit.
Oh, my God.
All right. Did that remind anybody of a family get-together? No? Just mine? All right. We don't want to fight like that. No. If you don't know, especially about me, I love the Marvel series. First of all, because I'm just a big fan of Marvel movies and superhero movies. But second of all, there's so much of the gospel in these. If you really, really, truly watch them and really, really, truly pay attention, the gospel is all throughout the Marvel series. And so if you don't know about the Avengers is Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and they form this team called the Avengers to help them thwart the threats that come against the Earth. And in this scene, you see the Avengers as they're kind of first forming. And what's happening is they all have a different agenda. Because they all have a different agenda, they begin to fight amongst themselves about what should be the outcome or the situation to rectify the problem that is happening. You have one going this way, one going that way, one going this way, one going that way. And the problem is if we're all tied together and going separate ways, we go nowhere. And the Avengers were going nowhere, and they're going nowhere fast. They were arguing amongst themselves, and with their argument, they left themselves vulnerable. The end of this video, you wouldn't get to see it, but what happens is the enemy attacks them from the outside. But because there's fighting so much internal and internally, the enemy's able to attack, and they don't even see the attack coming because they're so busy fighting amongst themselves about what should be the outcome or what should be the rectified situation that's going on. You might say, what does that have to do with us as Christians, as a body of believers? We are the church. we are a body. Like I said in Corinthians 12, one body made up of many parts. We all be working together as a body. The Avengers are supposed to be working together as a team to save the world. We are working together as a body of believers to save the world from the threat. Threat being the evil one, the enemy, Satan, and the sin sickness that they're coming susceptible to. But if we're not working together, we're like the Avengers in this clip. We're fighting amongst ourselves. We're battling amongst ourselves so much so that we're allowing the enemy, the evil one, to rally around us. And then when he attacks, we're not ready for it. We're vulnerable. The Avengers were in the air, vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. As you saw, the enemy shot an arrow into the side of the ship, and later on, if you haven't seen the movie, it blows up and the ship is damaged. If we're not careful, that's what happens to us as a body of believers. I see new joy right now as a flourishing body. I see members coming back to the church. I see members coming back to the fold. I see us growing together. I see us loving one another. I see us growing in a positive way, doing great things. And I see all these awesome things happening. But if we're not careful as a body, the enemy can come and attack. We won't see it coming. The fact of the matter is the enemy's out there. The attack's coming. Especially whenever you have a body that is flourishing like we are, a body that is growing, a body that is doing great things in the name of Christ, the enemy is right there. He's going to attack. It's going to happen. And if we're not careful, if we're not paying attention, then that attack can hit us. We won't be ready for it, and it can damage the body. Now, I want to tell you another little bit about me. If you don't know about me, about 5 years ago, I went on a weight loss journey. I still am a very large man, but I was a larger man about 5 years ago. I was about 150 pounds larger than I am right now. At my height of my weight, I was about 410 pounds. And today, I'm standing before you at 260, I've lost that weight a long time ago. I say that to say this is, when I was doing the weight loss journey, there were things that I'd do for my body to get healthy. There were things that would hurt my body if I would do them, and things that would help my body if I would do them. And as I went through that weight loss journey, the Lord spoke to me about the body of Christ. And so these same things that I was doing in my journey to get healthy with my body, the things that I was doing, we had to do in the body of Jesus Christ to make sure that our body, the body of Christ, is healthy. And so I want to use this opportunity to speak to some of those things that Christ has showed me. Now, it's in James 4:11 where we get our first glimpse into what Christ spoke to me about and how we need to make sure the body's staying healthy. Sorry. This is James chapter 4, verse 11, and it says this. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. You know, as I started my weight loss journey, and if you're taking notes, this is the first point. I realized that the only way to lose the weight was to stop putting the bad stuff inside my body. The only way for my body to get healthy was the bad stuff to stop coming in. Because the only way to get healthy was from the inside out. I had to start with the inside to make the outside healthy. The body of Christ, the only way to be healthy is to start from the inside out. On the surface, I did not look unhealthy. I mean, yeah, I was a big guy and this, that, and the other, but I was still able to move around. I was still able to be mobile. But on the inside, my body was slowly shutting down because of the bad stuff that was being put inside of it. Sweets, fatty foods, high salty foods, high cholesterol foods, things like that were wrecking my body from the inside out. Outside, once again, looked healthy. Skin looked good. Yeah, I was a big guy, but everything was on the surface looked good. But on the inside, I was being torn down. Churches can look great from the outside. New Joy Fellowship can be dressed up, painted up. We can fix all the holes, all the cracks. We can get a new facelift, a brand new sanctuary, and all the newest technology, all the latest things, and we can look fantastic from the outside. But if internally we're not doing what we need to do to take care of the body, we're dying from the inside out. The shell will not matter if there's nothing inside. My body can look great from the outside, but if nothing inside is going on, then it doesn't matter. It's a shell. The body of Christ, and likewise, in the same way, if all we're doing is coming here to the church and looking good and being presentable, if you will, to the outside, but nothing's going on inside the church, there's nothing going on inside the body, then it's all for naught. Or flip side, if there's stuff going on inside the body, but it's being harmful to the body, it's slowly dying. If all we're doing is coming here and talking about one another, or other believers, or even other ministries. I've been part of ministries where I will have a meeting about our ministry, and we'll tear down other ministries. That's not helping the body at all. That's not helping the body at all. It's not helping the body at all for me to go to my brother or sister and say one thing to them, but then to slander them behind their back, or to slander them to other people. That does not help the body at all. Now, hear me well. I'm not saying that we ought to get along in Kumbaya. I'm not naive enough to think that we're all going to be best friends. There's some people on this earth that I just do not get along with. And brothers and sisters in Christ that I just do not get along with. But you bet your bottom dollar, if they showed up at my house, I would clothe them. I would feed them. I would shelter them. I'm not going to invite them to my house, but if they did show up to my house, they would get clothes, they would get food, and they would get shelter. Because that's what we're supposed to do with the body. We're supposed to clothe the naked, feed the hungry. That's what Jesus Christ called us to do. He asked Simon Peter, he said, Simon Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. That's what we're supposed to do as body believers. Once again, I'm not saying that you have to be best friends with everybody that's a Christian. There's just no way that's going to happen because we're all still human beings. But on the flip side, we are not to tear down one another inside the body. I had somebody put it to me like this one time. They said, would you stomp on your own foot? Would you poke yourself in the eye? Would you punch yourself in the face? Would you stab yourself in the gut? No, you wouldn't. So why then would you slander or talk bad about another person as part of the body? Because when you do that, that's what you're doing. You're poking yourself in the eye. You're stomping on your own foot. You're stabbing yourself in the gut. You're punching yourself in the face. Because when you talk bad about a person, a part of the body, you're talking bad about yourself because you're a part of the body. So when we do that, that's what we do. And since we wouldn't do that to ourselves physically, why would we do that to our brothers and sisters spiritually in the body of Christ? Because when we do that, once again, the body breaks down from the inside out. When I put those bad things inside my body, my organs begin to shut down. Systems begin to shut down because they couldn't handle what was going on and all the bad stuff that was going in. When we bring bad stuff inside the body, people shut down. People leave. People stop coming. People stop being engaged. People stop being excited about Jesus Christ. And the body eventually shuts down. And if we don't want the body to shut down, we have to stop bringing bad stuff inside. Inside. Because the fact of the matter is, the enemy is out there. The enemy is out there. It's going to happen. He's going to attack. He's going to be around. He's going to come to steal, kill, and destroy. We know that's coming. The Bible says that. That's the truth that's happening. But what we can do is make sure we're prepared for that attack. See, if the Avengers were prepared for that attack, they're Earth's mightiest heroes. All these guys have special abilities, and on their own, they're fantastic. But when they're one, man, they're almost unstoppable. But when they're fighting amongst themselves, they're just as vulnerable to an attack as anybody without special powers. Us together, man, we are a mighty force. By ourselves, we have power. The Holy Spirit power that's inside of us, declared by Jesus Christ. We have the power, same power that raised God from the grave, same power that defeated sin lives inside of us. We all have that power individually. But man, when we come together and we put that power together, we're all going towards the same direction, going towards the same emotion. And we're all on the same page with the same mission in mind. Whew. Power. Unstoppable. I've seen churches under the power of Jesus Christ move mountains. Tiny churches, country churches. Yeah, remember, I used to live in Shawnee for a long time. I see some tiny churches do some big things. Bigger things that a bigger church could do because that bigger church is not working together as it should as the body. That tiny church with 25, 30 people moved a mountain. Or that church with 3,500 people couldn't move a stone. Because they worked together like they were supposed to for the same mission that God's called us to. New Joy Fellowship, we are small in number, but man, are we mighty with the Spirit of God. We work together. I felt the Spirit of God the moment I stepped in this church 2 years ago, and I haven't felt it leave, and I'm just so excited about things that are happening on the horizon. I see growth. I see opportunity. I see the Lord working through us as a body of believers because we have people who are eager and hungry and willing to do the work. But if we're not willing to do it together, making sure we're lifting everybody up, not slandering one another, the body will die from the inside out. The outside won't matter because the inside will be so rotten. So we as people, as a body of believers, let's make sure we're striving for that. Let's make sure that we are not letting that bad stuff inside the body. Number two, this is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. This is the second point about the body that God wanted me to tell you guys about. Galatians 6, 2. It says this. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Carry each other's burden. That goes along with not slandering your brother or sister in Christ. You see, whenever I was going through my weight loss journey, there are parts of my body that are working harder than the other parts of my body. But because that part of that body picked up the slack for the part that wasn't working so hard, I seemed healthy from the outside. I remember when I first went on this journey, I'd gone to my doctor, and he said, I don't know how you're even upright with the health problems you should have inside your body at the weight that you're at and the condition that you're in. I don't know how you're upright or even able to move around, let alone not in the grave yet. So at that point, I realized I need to go on a weight loss journey. I need to get myself healthy. But when he said that, I was like, how? Obviously, Jesus Christ has been holding me up, but also the science behind it, the body will adjust whenever a part or a system is failing. Another system will pick up the slack. When the system over here is failing, it'll say, this system will say, okay, well, we got to do this right here to hold the system up to make sure the body can still work. See, the problem comes whenever this system stops working. The system's like, hey, you need to do your job. Hey, figure it out. Hey, pick your behind up off your shoulders and get with it. When that happens, and the system continues to fail, and the system doesn't pick up the slack, the whole body fails. Because eventually, this system can't hold up this system any longer, and the whole body begins to fail. But when this system says, you know what, I see you're hurting over here, system, I'm going to do this to pick you up, hold you up, and bear that burden with you, the whole body, until you get yourself back right. Once you get back right, we'll both come back even, and we can work together to make this thing work. But the problem with us sometimes is we'll say, oh, you see so-and-so, they're over there doing that. You heard them. You saw what she said. You saw what she posted. You heard what they did. And we don't hold them up and share that burden. Not only do we not share that burden, by doing that, we're putting more burden upon them as they're already failing and push them down even further to make them fail even more until that system shuts down, gone, out of the fold, out of the body forever. And when that system's gone, all of a sudden, now this system has to work overtime to pick it up. And if it can't pick it up, guess what? The body fails. The body shuts down. We cannot do that. We cannot. I repeat again, we cannot do that. Now hear me well. If a brother or sister is stumbling in their sin and they're not recognizing it, it is your job as a Christian, as a brother in Christ, sister in Christ, to say, hey, I see you struggling. I want to hold you up. I want to pray for you. I want to make sure that you know that people here support you. I'm not saying that we're going to condone sin. We don't condone sin. But we also can't condemn people who sin because we're not dealing with those who condemn. Our job is to hold them up and help them recognize their sin, pray them through it so they can see the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ recognized and they can come out of that sin and be delivered from it. That's our job. Our job is not to put more burden upon that sinner who's already in sin. Our job is to hold them up, say, hey, I see you going through it. I'm going to help you through it. I'm going to pray you through it. And then once you get through it, we're going to rejoice together. We have victory. Because it said in Corinthians 12, when one has victory, one rejoices, we all rejoice. We have victory. But also the same, likewise, when one hurts, we should all hurt. My wife will tell you, I'm very empathetic. I am very, very empathetic. She can't even tell me stories about her medical procedures at work because I feel it. I am squeamish. I will pass it. I will tell you right now, I'm a weenie. I will tell you. She'll be like, yeah, we had to rip the rib cage open and shove a tube. And I was like, oh, okay. It's okay. Yeah, you got it. She'll just be talking about giving him a shot. And I'm like, okay, you gave him a shot in the arm. That's cool. Wow, I feel it. You know, so I'm very empathetic. And I praise God for that because I feel like that's a trait that I could use to help the body because whenever somebody hurts, I feel that hurt and I feel that pain. My prayer is, though, that we all don't be as empathetic as me because you'll be a weenie, but I want you to be empathetic in the fact that, man, if somebody's hurting, we should say, hey, I'm hurting with you. Maybe I haven't gone through what you've gone through, but I've gone through hurt. Because I've gone through hurt, I know that you're hurting. I'm going to help you. I'm going to hold you up. Until your system is ready to come back to operating full 100%, I'm going to give you a little more of my percentage. Maybe I have to go 120, 130. I've been married now for a year and a half, and me and my wife have quickly found out that when one half is slacking or hurting, the other half has to step up. Especially me, before I knew about my sickness and got medicated, I felt like I was slacking. I told my wife many times, like, oh, I feel like I'm just not doing enough, not doing my job. So that's what marriage is about. I'm here to hold you up until you're ready. I'm here to tell you today, I feel better than I felt in years because of being medicated and getting back on track. And now I'm ready, and now I've kind of come back to 100%, so I'm ready to keep doing things. Now she's going to tell me to slow down because I'm doing too much because I feel like I'm trying to make up for lost time. But like that in the body, what we do is we allow the people who are hurting to hurt. And once they're done hurting, once they've gone through what they've gone through, we hold them up, lift them up, and we bring them back to the fold. So when they're ready to work 100%, we can keep working together to make this body work. Because if we don't do that, once again, that system fails, the whole body fails. Because the fact of the matter is, if the cardiovascular system fails, like all the way fails, there's nothing you can do about that. I can't come to the respiratory system and say, hey, pick up that slack, pump the blood, because the respiratory system is not for that. The respiratory system is for breathing. And likewise, if the respiratory system fails, I can't say, hey, heart, bring the oxygen in, because it's not part of the system. If that system fails, it's just gone. And so when that system's hurting, let's make sure we hold it up so it doesn't fail. Last thing, I'll close here, and I'll close with the video also. But it's Matthew 28. I'm going to start in verse 16, actually. It says this. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now you might say, what does that have to do with the body? The last thing that I realized for my body that I had to do to make sure that it would work right, I had to be active, moving. That's the third point. So the first point, we want to keep slander and we want to keep evilness out of the body, wicked things and bad things out of the body. Second point, we want to hold each other up, bear each other's burdens so that system of the body is not shut down. And last thing, your body has got to be active. You know, when I went on this weight loss journey, I was doing a program called The Biggest Loser. It was at the YMCA in Shawnee. And one of the things that we were doing among all the healthy eating and stuff like that is we were to do a 5K. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not a runner. I've never been a runner, probably never will be a runner, unless God says, you know, I want you to be a runner. But I was watching the Olympics, and I watched the marathon. And I remember watching the marathon as people were finishing, they're falling out, passing out, legs cramping, giving out, body shutting down. That would have been me. That would have been me after the first 100 meters, okay? But then you look at some of the Kenyans, act like they haven't even been jogging. They're checking their pulse, checking their time, like, oh, that's a little slow. We can do another one. Let's run it again. I can do it faster. That was the Kenyans, because they were so active, they've been training for so long, that didn't even faze them doing that. These Olympic sprinters will baffle me, can run so fast, and it's just a short period of time. I think if I ran that fast in that short period of time, my body would explode. But their bodies are so trained because they're so active, they can do this. When I first started doing The Biggest Loser, I couldn't run. But at the end, I did run that 5K. And at the end of that 5K, we did a fireman's challenge where I drag a 180-pound dummy and had to roll up a fire hose and had to run up a ladder. I could do all that because I trained my body to do so because I'd been active. Our body, the body of Christ, we must be active. Because we can be healthy. Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. We can share each other's burdens, hold each other up. Oh, that's fantastic. But if we're not active, eventually the body dies. Eventually. And what I mean by active is when we're out, when the Bible says to go. Go and tell people about Jesus. Go do the things in the community that we've been doing. go and invite people inside the fold. Go and serve somebody who needs to be served. That's when you're being active. When we're doing that, being active, our body's so healthy. But when we're not active, man, are we unhealthy. We can eat right, we can do all the great things, but if you're not active, eventually your joints stiffen, your muscles deteriorate, and your bones weaken. And eventually your body breaks down anyways. Even as healthy as you are, you can be the healthiest eating person, healthiest living person. If you're not active, eventually your body will shut down. That's just the way of the world. That's the way science goes. That's also the way of Jesus Christ, that he tells us if we're not active, eventually we're going to shut down. Here's the reality and the fact. We are this. This is us. We are the body. Eventually, all of us will not be here any longer. Eventually. That's the reality. That's a fact. Unless we're adding to the fold, the body of New Joy Fellowship will not be here. But if we continue to add to the fold, continue to add healthy to the fold, continue to be healthy within inside and sharing each other's burdens, continuing to be active and mobile here in the community, growing, the body grows, the body stays healthy. But the moment one of those three things happens, doesn't happen, the body begins to shut down. The moment we bring slander in here, the body shuts down. The moment we don't hold each other up, the body shuts down. The moment that we decide, you know what, we don't want to be active any longer, the body will shut down. Now, I tell you all this because, like I said, I've been part of many ministries before, many churches before, and what happens is there'll be this up and down thing. There'll be this roller coaster because we grow. We don't protect the body, and then we get hurt, we drop. But then we grow. We don't protect the body, we drop. I don't want to see us drop here at New Joy Fellowship. I love this body. I love this body of believers. I love each and every last one of you guys I've interacted with, and I can honestly say that this church is family. And I think that if we continue to do what we've been doing, we can continue to see awesome results under the guidance of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no room for improvement. That means that we're supposed to continue to do what we're doing, but also in the back of our minds, keeping the slander out of here, make sure we're holding each other up, each other's burdens, and making sure we're staying active. Active in the community, whether that's serving, whether that's telling somebody about Jesus Christ, or whether that's inviting somebody to church. We're supposed to be active as a body. If we continue to do these three things, the body will grow. I'm not saying we're going to be a huge mega church in number, but I will say that we'll do some great things and for the kingdom of Jesus Christ if we continue to follow him and bless his holy name when we come in here. Now, this final video, I just kind of give you a synopsis of it. It is what happens at the end of Avengers. So the Avengers had their fight. They've kind of dissipated and separated. Now they're coming back together to try to work things out. And so this is what's going to happen when they work things out. You'll play that video for me.
Sandra.
Guys?
Call it, Captain.
All right, listen up. Until we can close that portal, our priority is containment. Barton, I want you on that roof. Eyes on everything. Call out patterns and strays. Stark, you've got the perimeter. Anything gets more than three blocks out, you turn it back or you turn it to ash.
Can you give me a lift?
Right. Better clench up, Legolas.
Thor, you got to try and bottleneck that portal. Slow him down. You got the lightning. Light the bastards up. You and me, we stay here on the ground. We keep the fighting here. And Hulk. Smash.
All right. Love that part. What happens when the Avengers work together? What happens if the body comes together for the same mission, the same purpose? What happens is they save the world. When the body comes together for the same mission, the same purpose, they save the world. As you saw, they had the Captain America call out all the orders, all of the directions, and the Avengers followed them to a T. And because they did that, if you haven't seen the end of the movie, they do. They save the world. When we all work together as the body for the same cause, same purpose, same mission, we save the world. I'm not saying we're going to save everybody, but I will say that if we continue to do what we're doing, we work together, same mission, same cause, then we will see people come to Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. This week, we went to camp at John 3:16. It was me and about 17 other adults, including my wife and a couple others from John 3:16. It was about 17 adults, but we had to work together. It took all 17 of us going to the same goal, and that same mission was that these kids would know Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. Because of that, we saw 13 come to know Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. Not only that, We saw even one of our own here, RJ, who wanted to be baptized. He was baptized yesterday in the bathtub at home, which is fantastic. But all that happened because we worked together. Not because I'm awesome, not because one of these adults had a special power, a special gifting. It was because we all worked together under the mission that we're going to see these kids see Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior. All of us have special talents. We all have special gifts. But none of us is superhuman like the Avengers. But, if we all work together, if we're all going through the same mission under the same guise of Jesus Christ with the whole same Holy Spirit, we can save the world. Not that everybody would be saved through us, but man, that so many more would not have to go to hell because we were doing what we're supposed to be doing, telling people about Jesus Christ. So my plea to you this morning, as the invitation time starts, I'm not sure what invitation that Pastor Warren is going to give, but I invite you to do this. If there's somebody in the body that you need to apologize to, seek forgiveness from, or that you need to forgive, do that. If there's a burden on your heart to pray for the body of Blue Joy Fellowship, come to the altar, pray. If there's a burden in your body for a ministry or for a ministry opportunity for New Joy Fellowship, share it, Pastor Forney, so we can go do that. We can be active as the body. Whatever it is this morning, whatever your burden is, whether it's somebody, whether it's someone, something, or whether it's just to come and say, I want to pray for and lift up New Joy Fellowship, the body, so that we are always moving towards Jesus Christ, come do that during the invitation time. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to turn back over to Pastor Forney. Father God, thank you so much for this time that you've given us. Thank you for allowing us to come into this house and to hear a word from you. Father God, thank you for the body of New Joy Fellowship. I thank you so much that we're able to come and to worship in this place, this beautiful building, Father God, you've given us. But I pray, Father God, that our worship would not stay inside these four walls. I pray, Father God, that our worship would not be contained in this building, but that we would take that out and we would share with other people that we come in contact with. Father God, I pray we would keep slander and malice away from this place, especially amongst other believers. Father God, I pray that we would hold each other up. For somebody, Father God, here with a burden who's hurting, let them know they can share that burden. Let them know, Father God, they can come and they can be prayed for and they can be lifted up by the body. Lastly, Father God, let us be active, always going, always telling, always discipling, always baptizing those in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father God, as we continue this to worship this morning, give us a burden for you, for your people, and for those who are lost. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.